Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Reasoning with an Optimist podcast for the week of April 24th, 2016. This is Jack Brissett Mills. Nice conversation today with Ian. First, the verses I wrote for Rudolf Steiner's Calendar of the Soul for his week four. This one I wrote 2 years ago. Verse four. Though my thinking may be clear, it must never lack warmth. As I stand feeling separate within this flood of light, I know I must connect. I must let it penetrate me, shine through me. That warmth of feeling will bind me joyfully to the world. And this one I wrote last year for the same Rudolf Steiner verse. Verse 4a. This light encourages me to allow my heart access to my head, to warm my thinking with my love of this day, and find in the light a kindred spirit. Ian and I talked a whole hour at least, and I thought it was all quite good, and so I cut it in the middle again. So this is a part one conversation. I'll try to do the part two for next week. Thank you, Ian. Here you go.
Hello.
Hey, Ian. Jack here.
Hey, Jack. How are you?
Good. So I don't know what we'll talk about. Do you have a big thought? Do you have some kind of big thought?
What other kind of things have you talked about?
Of course, it always kind of falls toward morality in some way, or right and wrong, or is there a God, or something deep like that ends up coming out. But it doesn't start that way. It usually starts with, what have you been thinking about that's important to you? And of course, we're all the same. And so anyone who starts with that kind of conversation, everyone is interested in it because it's not actually personal. It sounds personal, but actually everybody is going through the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Well, so one thing that I've been thinking about lately is this question of identity and
in the modern sense or in the classic sense. You know what I mean?
Well, I guess it's more. I don't know. I guess I don't know. The true definition of either, but yeah. More in just in my own life and as it pertains to, you know, that I guess I am an American. I'm a Texan born in Austin, but I've been fortunate enough to see a lot of other cultures and to interact with a lot of other cultures, and was able to do so at a time where I was forming my identity.
Right.
And so it's left me in this place of like slightly unsure of kind of who I identify with or what I identify with.
Right.
So that's been something that I've been kind of mulling over lately.
I know that one of the higher states of development is this feeling of being a stranger. I think Moses said it, right? I am a stranger in a strange land. I think that was pre-Christian, yes. Or pre-everything.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he was some kind of high initiate in some spiritual path, and that's a very high state. And I've always felt that is either what I'm feeling when I'm traveling. I can go anywhere and feel like I'm home. So in the one sense, I live everywhere, but in the other sense, I don't have a home anywhere because wherever I'm going to sleep that night, that's where my home is, especially if my partner is there. You know, we used to live, we lived in a bus for a while, and our identity was totally connected with where we were parked, you know. It was very, very interesting. So I don't think that's a bad thing at all to not know who you are. I think that's actually kind of an elevated state. I hope you know that. It's not a terrible thing at all.
Yeah, I guess I don't think of it as a bad thing. I just find it a little difficult at times to yeah. kind of feel settled in a place.
Yes.
And I feel envious sometimes of people who have very strong identities and are very certain of kind of what their the parameters are of their life and of their of their self, you know, or of their understanding of their self.
Of course, there's so many. Keep going.
Yeah, no, it's just at the same time, I am grateful for sort of feeling this knowledge of other cultures or other places, not just like reading about it or something like that, but kind of feeling it.
Yeah, you're one of the most traveled people I think I know. I mean, wonderful. I kind of can just assume everybody your age is like that, but of course it's not true.
Right. I mean, I think there are quite a few people my age. I mean, Faith is certainly, she's traveled more than I have and for a lot longer too. But I kind of wonder how much it is a generational thing versus just the people that I've grown up with who happen to have that kind of wanderlust.
I would have said it requires a rich parent, but Faith is proving me wrong. She does not have money, and yet she's traveling all the time, and you wonder how a person can do that. It's so marvelous.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there are ways to do it. I mean, that's when I was traveling a lot. It was, you know, I worked in Europe in a couple of places and ended up, you know, I would travel and come home and work really hard for 6 months and go on a trip somewhere. And I mean, what I found is if you don't have rich parents, you're kind of broke all the time, and you're doing everything you can to make it work.
Yeah,
but
of course that's excellent.
But it's okay.
Excellent education there too. Yeah,
totally. I mean, I would prefer it that way to just having everything.
I thought of two things. I thought of two things for your identity. One is people think your identity is what other people think of you, and many people fall into that. There's that. Then there's the Alzheimer identity when you get so old that you or get so ill that you don't remember any of your own memories. I almost think that's our true self. When you see people, I've been desperately wondering. Whether without all my memories, would I become fearful? So many Alzheimer's patients become afraid of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a question for me about identity. Who am I without my memories? Will I be afraid? And then there's the drug question of identity. I've had many friends who had drug, I wouldn't call them overdoses. The drug works correctly. But the friend is needing me or needing someone to hold on to and walk them through the rest of the night because they're having a great problem with their own identity. They're losing themselves somehow.
Right.
And I don't know if you have any relationship with that, if you've done that kind of thing, or if you've seen people who have lost themselves. It's really frightening. I lived in a time when drugs were expected of me, at least as an intelligent person in college. I was with smart friends, and my smart friends all said, "You have to try this." And being young and dumb, I did it. And my main goal was to see if I would maintain myself, if I would stay myself on the drug. And I always found that I did. And so I personally feel like I have one of these rock solid identities that maybe you've been thinking you wanted, but I've often envied the other people who can become hysterical. I've always wondered how that would be to lose myself.
Yeah. I've never really been attracted to drugs so much.
Great.
I definitely have like smoked my fair share of pot. But I actually stopped doing it because it really affected my perception of myself, and it got me to a point where I just really didn't like it. It made me feel very anxious and,
You're very lucky. It's wonderful.
Yeah. So I really just you know, it's just not something I'm interested in anymore. Yeah. I definitely have drugs are an interesting one to me. And I have a friend who believes in drugs as a spiritual experience and does them regularly, which I don't personally agree with, but I find it interesting, you know, I respect him as a person. Yeah. So I can't say that he, you know.
I was very close to a fellow just in the last year who saw in me someone he admired, I think. And so he tried his best to get me to follow what he had discovered. And what he had discovered apparently was some drug that he thought was related to alchemy, the ancient study of chemical transformation that he said, and I believe it's true, that Newton, all the great minds of the day were working on the play of Faust, Dr. Faust, all these greatest of all great thinkers in the past had this alchemy background and were killing themselves with heavy metals because of all the drugs they were taking and all the fumes coming off. And in talking with him and him finding that I wasn't going to do it with him, you know, I was so lucky. I wanted to say this about drugs since this is public. I think the problem with drugs is it's a roll of the dice whether or not you will be someone who can get out of them, get away from them. I think it's a roll of the dice that you suddenly discover you're one of those people who can't get away from them. They take you and you can't come back. And so when someone can have them and get out again, I think maybe they were better off that they tried them. But those other people, who can say beforehand, their lives are ruined somehow and their bodies are ruined. And so I really think the risk is against it. I really am glad when people don't do it.
Yeah, I really agree with you on that. I don't know. It just seems it is a risk. And it's interesting, like I've been doing drywall all day, so I've been listening to the news all day. Yeah, I know. It's the news has been pretty horrible lately.
Yeah.
Seems to be only Donald Trump ISIS. But there's a new podcast that has been produced on NPR that is talking about the opioid addiction in the United States and just how easily it can happen. You know, how just like somebody has an injury and they go to the doctor to get treated, and then, you know, the next thing they know, they're addicted to this powerful drug. And it's I think that's a different experience maybe than sort of searching for spiritual experiences through drugs. But it's not something I take lightly, for sure.
Well, who would ever say that the person who can find peace and the feeling of commanding their own life, the purpose of life, if a person has those qualities within them without drugs, who would ever say that that person should try drugs? Never would anyone say that. Drugs are only considered reasonable when someone is at a crossroad, somehow lost, somehow dead end, or hopeless. Even then, I would still not caution. I would still not ask anyone to try a drug. I'm not promoting drugs in the least, because I know personally that the goodness they give is only to change you somehow from being in a bad direction. But they often don't work. They help you continue in your bad direction. So I'm
right.
But it is so possible, totally possible, to not ever take an altering drug, and to find peace and to find fulfillment in your life without them. I'm sure it is. I know it is.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to Well, so transitioning from that thought of mind altering.
Yes.
Meditation is something that I've found to be a similar experience, and have with some people close to me who I've talked to about meditation also had a similar experience of the sort of mind altering kind of spiritual experience that a lot of people search for in drugs.
Right.
But is a much, I don't know, it seems to just be a much more healthy
yep.
way to access
yep.
those experiences or those thoughts. And I find in sort of going to the back to the question of identity as well, it's interesting to think of when I'm in a state of meditation, it sort of transcends the surface level thoughts. And I think often thoughts are assumed to be the self, like we are our thoughts and we are, the things that go on in our minds, whether that's
right.
I'm hungry or my leg hurts or something like that, but being in a state of meditation, it's like there's a bigger, quieter self,
yeah.
I think, which is something that sort of gives me comfort when, if I'm stressed out or upset or, something, to as a reminder that, that those emotions or the thoughts that are in my mind are not necessarily all that I am, or not necessarily indicative of my deeper self or something.
Really nice. Really nice. That, if you practice and you discover that there is a thinking that you can do, which is above, let's say, above the I'm hungry, what was that? Any kind of normal
right.
everyday thought. There is still a thinking which is your thinking, but it's beyond that. I think a couple things happen. One is you certainly have peace then at that moment, but later in your regular life, you have a memory of peace, which is great, and you have a memory of I did it myself. I think that's the greatest part, is that I did it myself. I sat down, I told myself I was going to meditate, I meditated, I got some peace out of it. Hours later, days later, you can be climbing a mountain, you can be getting that new job you always wanted, and the fact that you did it yourself will be some kind of strength in you.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you do yourself is much more powerful than the drug that helped you get it.
Absolutely. I guess my personal philosophy on the spirituality of using, like, the spiritual, if there is spirituality in using drugs, is that I think that using some of these psychedelic drugs or these mind altering drugs can give you a glimpse of a higher spiritual state, but it's not lasting, and it's also in my mind the idea of enlightenment is maybe reaching a state like that where that is your normal existence, but to be enlightened is to have worked for it and to have earned it and to understand to have learned the lessons that it takes to get to a place like that, and not to just take a substance and then be transported there and then transported away from it.
Definitely. There are these cautions that teachers give, spiritual teachers give, and the one that really struck me as the best caution I ever heard is that when you meditate or if you have a spiritual experience, it's vitally important that you were in control the entire time. I love that idea that I steer my ship. It's my ship and I'm steering. And maybe it takes me longer than someone else who doesn't really know how they did it. They they danced around this fire for 8 hours, and then suddenly they were in some place and they didn't know what happened, and it was really cool. Right. And it was really cool. And that's similar to taking a drug. I took this drug and it was a great experience, but they can't do it themselves. I'm very much attached to this path of spirituality where I know every step of the way. And mm-hmm. The caution that I believe is correct caution is there are beings, I believe there are beings in the world that will profit from my being lost, by my going astray. And if I am not clear on my path to the spirit, if I'm in the spiritual world somehow meditating, and I don't know how I got there, I believe that that's a legitimate caution that some other being might be manipulating me. And I just don't want to give that a chance. I'd want to do it myself. I want to get there myself. So I totally understand what you're saying, and I totally agree with it, that a drug is an unknown. It's an unknown, and you get somewhere. Maybe the place you get is really cool, but it's much better, and it's vitally important that you get there yourself. That's what I think, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I guess I agree in the sense of if you're searching for a sort of a higher spiritual self and experience, that yeah, it's the journey, not the destination. You know, the hard lessons that you have to learn on the way that is what gives you the perspective to understand that higher self or that higher experience. You know, walking California from New York.
Yes.
You'll have so much more wisdom and knowledge and strength than if you get on an airplane and fly there in a couple hours. You know?
Yep, yep, yep. I don't know if you've ever practiced music over years but I equate meditating with that the successful practicer does not always want to get the performance. They don't have to be better all the time. The better ones, the better students, are ones who actually become happy to practice. The practice becomes something that they like and they're proud of.
Sure.
And the same with meditating, that I think I started in 1984, so it's been 94, 04, 14, 30 years or so I've been meditating. And if I was really saying I got to be clairvoyant next week, I have to be clairvoyant, I'd be really bummed out by now. You know, I'd be totally depressed about it. But somehow I got used to meditating itself. It, like push-ups, I suppose, like anything you do, you don't necessarily get something out of a push-up. But the fact that you can do push-ups helps you in some other way. I feel helped by the fact that I am someone who meditates. I feel that help all the time, mainly just because I'm doing something that I told myself I would do, and I'm doing it. It's really so simple that you do what you say you will do over a long period of time, and it really helps you do everything else.
Sure. Yeah, it's building good habits and feeling a sense of control over your will or your life. I can't remember if I talked to you about it. I think we did. I studied Kung Fu for a little while.
Oh yeah, beautiful.
And it was only for like 8 months, so not long enough to really have an understanding of it, but
right.
My initial impression was that it was very much like a meditation, and I found it to be so, so engaging and gratifying in that way. And because I've practiced yoga on and off for probably close to 10 years or so, and I'm always left after yoga, even if I'm completely exhausted. There's always still a certain amount of energy in me, this kind of like explosive energy. I was a sprinter, you know, when I ran track in high school and everything. And so I have that kind of fire, and Kung Fu for some reason was this thing that was able to give me the practice and discipline of something like yoga or meditation even, but then to completely exhaust that energy that I couldn't access in, you know, in like transcendental meditation or in yoga. And I know they're different practices and achieve different things, but I just found that I found Kung Fu to be something so, so amazing. And then the history of it too, you know, that it goes back for so, you know, so far into history and tradition.
There's a whole philosophy behind it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Talking about identity though, I've been wrestling with this idea of the path or the way. Everyone in a spiritual stream knows what they mean by the path or the way. And Kung Fu can become someone's path, someone's way. There is this dichotomy where if your path is meditation or Kung Fu or archery, as opposed to a path with another being, say being married, you know, that could totally be a path too, or raising a child or teaching or being a beekeeper is what I've been thinking of, because I just finished my beekeeping book. And how that can be a path when you're dealing with another being, especially one that can hurt you, which a spouse can do, a child can do. That's a different level of a path. It's taking you, you have to know yourself, of course, the same in both realms. But when you're dealing with another person, you have this other dimension which may lessen or widen the experience. And of course, I work on both of those realms. I want the other involved with me as well, but I also want the private. I want the archery. I want the meditation path too. Of course, we shouldn't limit ourselves to just one, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree. I love exploring different paths, and I'm trying to understand different paths, but that's a nice thought of really, you know, investing one's energy into trying to grow oneself, but to also understand other, you know, other living things or people and yourself in the context of other living things. Of people.
I almost think there's a it's so easy to say there are two kinds of people, and then the best answer to that statement is those who think there are two kinds of people and those who don't. but the other one I like is there are 10 kinds of people, those who understand binary and those who don't.
Right.
I like that one. But I wanted to ask if you felt what I have felt in the past, a battle within my own head. I want to know if this is a common thing. In meditating, I had the wish to be quiet. I was someone who, now I know my spouse doesn't have the same problem. I say, don't you hear all these songs in your head? And aren't you always singing and making rhythms? And she said, no. So maybe it's totally not a normal thing, but I was always throughout my life singing and rhythmicking when I step, when I'm doing dishes, when I'm anywhere thinking. Whenever I'm thinking, I have a background song going on. And in my meditating, I didn't want that. I wanted to be quiet. It's my choice. It's my head. I wanted to be quiet. And so I discover I can't. Now that's where I think people say, I'm never going to meditate again. That scares the shit out of me. Or like me, I said, that is my head. I demand my own head. And it was frightening to me to get close to those things that I couldn't stop. And then after maybe 20 years finally I broke through. I looked right into it, and it scared me deathly, frightening me terribly, and it was gone. And so finally I was able to look right into the thing that was frightening me, into not doing what I said, and then suddenly I was through it. And it wasn't clairvoyance, and it wasn't some euphoric state. It was simply the fact that I could control my own noise. And of course that has something to do with identity. I felt that there was a level of thought in my head which wasn't me. I felt it was maybe some crayfish kind of thinking that I had from my ancestors, or some normal normal survival thinking that everybody has, but it wasn't me, and I didn't want it there unless I chose to let it be there. I wanted to be able to erase it if I wanted. And so that, I'd love to hear what you think about that as an identity question. What's that in your state? You're about where I started when I decided I wanted to control my own head. I was about your age. And so now it's been 30 years. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, that sounds to me like it was a switch of thinking of this is not part of me to accepting, through the acceptance of that the songs in your head are just as much a part of you as anything else. Mm-hmm. And it's like as soon as that acceptance happens, then it allows for that silence, or it allows for the to move through it. You know, it's like a sort of a block that you know, by accepting, you kind of are allowed to climb over it or move through it.
Nice. Yeah, I'm stopping it there. It changes subject right then, and it goes another half an hour, so that'll be for next week. Thank you very much for listening. If you have any comments or questions, or would you like to talk with me, please let me know by dropping me a line at my website, reasoningwithanoptimist.net. And see you next week. This is Jack Bressett-Mills. Bye-bye.